Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
Hello, it's John Buskell here from the Doghouse Studio in Stockholm, Sweden. A very dark Doghouse Studio, I must say. It's October the 28th. The clocks went back last weekend. And even if you're listening now in the summer sunshine of 2016, 2017 or beyond, the night that I recorded this show just before Halloween was dark and chilly. Welcome to the show this week. I'm going to go on a long talk about trying to do things with print media as a response to something I read on ad spend being down in both digital and print in certain things. That's coming up in a bit. I'm also going to talk a bit about OneNote, the app on the Mac platform my colleague Villa has been using and inspired me to try out. But for starters, I wanted to talk about two things. One, Blog Talk Radio, and two, Publicate. First up, Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to this podcast. You probably found it on iTunes or Stitcher or through a tweet online, or you happen to stumble onto the Moondog website and clicked. Hopefully you've listened thus far. Or maybe you're a regular subscriber and you know the podcast anyway. But Jay Soderbergh, who is his family's originally a long time back Swedish, because Soderbergh is the Swedish surname Söderberg. And anyway, Jay reached out to me, and as well as giving him a bit of a Swedish lesson, he talked to me about Blog Talk Radio. Now, Dave Jackson over at School of Podcasting, good friend of mine, Dave, he's always been rather anti-Blog Talk Radio, although he's more positive about it now because he's met them at conferences and stuff. Anyway, Jay reached out to me, wanted me to try Blog Talk Radio. So I've actually agreed to. I'm not moving my RSS feed. And if you're already a subscriber to the show, you do not have to worry. This won't affect you at all. All it means is that I am going to be distributing my show as well as through iTunes and Stitcher and Spreaker and blah, blah, blah. It'll also be on the Blog Talk Radio platform. If you want to find it there, you can. moondogmarketing.com/blogtalk, and it will drive you through there. It's interesting, isn't it? How many people are making a play for more monetization in the podcast space? There are so many podcasts out there. Yes, I've been doing it for a long time. Do I feel that I own it? No, I don't. I just did it. I liked it. I've been doing it. It's become more popular. More people are going to do it. Absolutely. When I was a vegetarian aged 12, no one was a vegetarian. Nowadays, everyone's a vegetarian, or so it seems. You know, I would go to places and they would be like, oh, you're a vegetarian, are you? Do you eat bread? Nowadays, of course, it's just, you know, standard. And podcasting has become, if not mainstream, it's becoming massive. And of course, there's more money, more players, more actors in the whole area. And Blog Talk Radio are doing something, I think, kind of interesting. So check it out, Blog Talk Radio, or just go along and find the Moondog page at Blog Talk, moondogmarketing.com/blogtalk. Next up, Publicate. If you're a regular listener to the show, and of course you are, or I hope you are, and if you're not, please do go subscribe, he said in a small voice. If you go along to moondogmarketing.com/154, I interviewed Chris Bradley from the UK. I think Chris is originally from Wales. Sorry if I've got that wrong, but I think so. Chris came on the show to talk about Publicate, which is a really fabulous service, online service for curating websites, content, information, tweets, social, everything that you could possibly want to content you could want to curate. I'm having one of those weeks where I speak really quickly. I've noticed that. Publicate, really good for curation. Well, Publicate is getting even better. I had a conversation with Chris last week. He showed me some of the new things that they're bringing in. Basically, which was what one of my English teachers used to hate us starting sentences with, but I'm going to say it anyway. Basically, they're improving and making it so easy for you to put anything you create, publish, on the Publicate platform. And I could see a really good use for this, particularly those of you that are interested or currently have learning resources online. We've made, for a couple of customers, we've made online learning sites where people, you know, sell, come in, membership sites, get our information, learn to do, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I could see that Publicate could be a really good way of doing this, because you can take purchase, you can use opt-in forms, you can tie in Publicate with things like Aweber or Constant Contact or MailChimp, really, you know, all those nice services. And it can be really difficult for people who are doing their business and also want to have a website and want to have an online course to learn some of the software. Publicate's super easy. It's just a WYSIWYG. You can just drag things in, publish them to the web, embed them in your website, embed them in your newsletters, and it's very, very easy. So imagine you get someone to sign up through your website. You're going to send them regular newsletters. You're going to send them a course. And through Publicate, you can just bring all the materials that you are curating for the course. And in a way, a course is a curation of material, whether it's created by the teacher, the instructor, or if it's being selected by them when created by other staff. Very interesting. Chris hadn't thought of this, but I saw it instantly when he showed me where Publicate was going. This could be a real game changer for those of you that maybe don't have budgets to get teams to come in and develop online learning resource sites for you. Or it could, just be a really simple way of making materials that you've got available, curated online for people. Just go along and there you've got the video, you've got the PDF, you've got the audio, etc., etc. Go along to publicate.it, publicate.it. It's very good. It's good now. It's going to be even better. I'm very excited about where Chris is going with Publicate. And so on to the next segment, and that is OneNote. Have you ever heard of OneNote? If you're on a Mac, probably not. If you're on a PC, you'll know what OneNote is. OneNote's a bit like Evernote. Oh, that's such a lazy thing to do, isn't it? To describe one thing by comparing it to another. It is a application that works on all your devices. OneNote, like Evernote, works on all your devices and enables you to create notes, to dump all the thoughts that you have into an app, or images, PDFs, links, websites, the whole shebang. I've just been trying out OneNote because Villa Moondog has been using it, and I was horrified. Villa, I said, you're using OneNote, a Windows product, on your Mac? And he showed me, and I thought, that's pretty good. I like Evernote. Evernote is great. I've used it for years, premium user, and Evernote is my, I want to say sin bin, it's my kind of memory bin. I just dump everything into it. It's absolute chaos, a bit like my desk. And it can be a bit difficult to find things in it, but I never really create in Evernote. I try to write notes if I'm on, you know, Skype calls, although other times I'll try and use my hand because it's the opportunity to actually write something with a pen, which I do so rarely these days. But with OneNote, I downloaded it from the App Store and started, it's free, and started playing with it. And I like the fact that you can type anywhere on the page. You can just, you know, sort of bung the cursor down and start typing away. And that's great. It's really good because it enables you to sort of write comments around your notes. And it's very, very intuitive, particularly if you're used to working with a pen and a notebook and sort of scribbling all over the place. You can do that with the keys. And I like it. It's very good. Very clean interface. And I found it easier to write show notes in, for example, in OneNote than I would do in Evernote. It remains to be seen, of course, whether it will become a stable feature of my workflow. But I've been using it for a few days and I think it's quite interesting. yes, the majority of the writing I do is in Google Apps or the doc part of Google Apps. Or I use Ulysses, another great app for writing. It enables you to do this thing called Markdown, which you don't really need to worry about unless you're a bit of a geek. But it's a very nice way of writing in a clean, clear space. I hate distractions on the screen because I get distracted by them. Yes, exactly. And so finally, I wanted to talk about ad spend. Not exactly your ad spend or my ad spend, but a news story that I read last week. A news story that I read last week, which was about, it was actually to do in the UK about ad spend, but I've been looking around and it's very, very typical of what's happening in Sweden too, and I would imagine in the US, but ad spend is down for print advertising. Now, I know this because several years ago when we were handling customer contracts, customers still insisted on placing adverts in print media. And, you know, we make adverts for print. We like doing it very much. In fact, this whole week, the chaos of this week has been doing a really high-end piece of native advertising, a brochure that's going out with a really, really high-end magazine here in Sweden. But that's by the by. Print advertising is, the market was down 30% at some points during this year. It's been down over the last 6 months. It's been down 30% in some weeks. Now, this data is taken from The Guardian, link in the show notes, moondogmarketing.com/159. It's taken from The Guardian, the British, well, it used to be a newspaper, but now it's a newspaper and an online, you know, it's probably the best online news source in English, I think. I think it's really, really good. I used to write for The Guardian. Print advertising, the market's down 30%. And that's really, really quite scary if you are an advertising agency that makes adverts for print media, or I think it's really scary for the newspaper industry. Absolutely. Companies are massively cutting down their budgets. British Telecom, 18% off its national newspaper ad budget. Asda, the supermarket firm, 47%. And Tesco's, the other supermarket chain over in the UK, down 39%. That's a lot of ad spend that is disappearing. Now, of course, media outlets have tried to counteract this by developing really, really big, powerful, impressive online news outlets. The Guardian's website in particular, it's, you know, one of the websites I check every day here in Sweden. Svenska Dagbladet, SvD, have a really, really outstanding website and iPad app. Absolutely fabulous. And I'm sure, you know, the New York Times and the Tokyo Times or wherever you are also, you know, super really focused on developing web platforms. However, what The Guardian drew my attention to is the fact that the ad spend for digital, for these digital platforms, was also down. It was not increasing. That's really, really worrying. The Mail Online, which I think is the Daily Mail and the newspaper, the Mail Media Group, The Mail Online has 200 million monthly users, almost as many that visit moondogmarketing.com naturally. 200 million monthly users. Now, that should be really, really attractive for advertisers, but growth has been down to single figures. And in fact, according to David Pemsel, who's the CEO of Guardian Media Group, he seems to think that the reason for them missing their big targets, and it was something like they were not going to make their target of 80 million this year of profit. They were not going of growth. Sorry, they were not going to make their their profits for next year, all sort of doom and gloom. But David Pemser, what he's putting the blame on here really is that it's not the fact that these news outlets aren't producing great websites. It's because Google and Facebook are hoovering up the ad spend. There's like a 30% increase on online advertising every year, and 29% of that increase goes to either Google or Facebook. 1% goes to the others. That is scary. Because if two platforms are so prevalent, dominant, it's going to be really hard for you, me, us, everyone, to compete on these platforms. I mean, Google, you're already, you know, you're bidding for your ads to be seen anyway. And if people are realizing, you know, small companies, medium-sized, big companies, if everyone is realizing that digital ads are, you know, the place to be is Google, or if it's to be Facebook, it's going to be incredibly, incredibly competitive. You know, we already see that with, you know, just these small campaigns for customers who don't have the ad spend of a telecom company or a massive supermarket. And this is something I think we as business owners, or those of us working with marketing, are going to have to really think about and be cognizant of and find strategies to work around this. My immediate reaction was, of course, aha, well, here's where content marketing is going to be so important. It's not going to be about good old interruptive advertising, because people use ad blockers. There's something like 200 million people. Interesting that there's 200 million monthly users to the Mail Online, but there's also 200 million people globally using ad blockers. Interesting correlation there, maybe not. 200 million people online are using ad blockers, and that's, you know, that's going up because Apple have now made it possible to download ad blockers from the App Store for your phone or for your iPad or whatever. But the fact is that with such a, what's the word where you bring everything together, collection, sumless, where everything comes together and is kept in one place, all those people, if all the best advertising is on the same platforms, it's just going to be so difficult. So I can see that this is where content marketing is going to be so important. And this is something that those people who talk inbound, also known as content marketing, and I don't have a particular preference. I generally talk about content marketing because for me, inbound sounds a little bit jargon-esque, but I suppose my father would say that content marketing is too. Content marketing, creating something creative for people to find you. The trouble is, everyone who can't afford to go and advertise on these big platforms is doing content marketing, and even the people that can advertise too are doing it as well. And it's so difficult. There's so little innovation that's happening. Hard to get your ebooks downloaded, hard to get people to give your email address across. And even if they do, they never click on your emails because, you know, Google will sort them away. There are these great services like Sane Later. If you don't know it, plugs into your Gmail and will create all these lovely little places where it'll put the messages for later that you don't have to see them until you want to look, or you can even have them go straight to the black hole and disappear forever. And this kind of brings me back round to print media with your ad spend. Over the last couple of years, I've discovered, or we at Moondog have discovered, that print, it does work. We call ourselves a digital marketing agency. We call ourselves content marketing agency. We are web developers, but we do stuff for paper. On my desk at the moment, like I said earlier in the show, as I was recording this, I've been working on a high-end brochure and native advertising. It's not a brochure. It's a booklet that goes along with a magazine. You open the magazine, you get this in a magazine, and it's got articles. Of course, it is an advertisement, but it doesn't say advertisement. It looks like a free piece of content that goes along with the magazine. But that's covered all over my desk at the moment. Some very nice photographs. A couple of them that I actually took myself. And I must say that it was really fun. Villa and I were out on Lake Mälaren, one of the big lakes here in Sweden, at about 7 a.m. a few weeks ago, in -5, photographing some guys rowing. It was really, really fun and very cold. And I was a bit concerned about cameras and camera lenses. But it's amazing. Amazing how these things work in cold temperatures. Pretty cold temperatures for us. But print does stand out. If it fits with your target audience. I was talking last week at an event for some photographers here in Stockholm, hosted by my friend Yanis Politidis. Yanis is originally from Greece, and he is a brilliant photographer. He's also a very, very lovely, lovely man. He reached out to me when Agsi was suffering from cancer just before she died, and Yanis invited me down into his studio in central Stockholm and took some great photographs of Aggie with Winnie, one of my other woofs who's still with us, and me. And my picture of Aggie is right here in the studio I'm recording now from Yanis. And Yanis, if you're looking for a good photographer in Stockholm, you should check out Photograf Yanis. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes over at moondogmarketing.com/159. Yanis is a really, really, really fabulous photographer. But Yanis, he invited me to come down and speak to photographers who wanted to know more about marketing. And I talked about digital marketing, of course, because, that's what I do. But one of the really important things, if you're working visually with beautiful products, their photographs are beautiful. Believe me, I checked out lots of their websites. Doing something with print is going to stand out. Yes, you need to be found with the keywords, in this case, photography, Stockholm wedding photographer in Swedish. You need to have a website that has these keywords, that's researched, that you look at the traffic, that your website has landing pages that get your key value proposition, the key messaging, the things that you do across very, very quickly. It needs to be easy to navigate so people can reach out to you and take the kind of action that you want them to take. You need to show your best material, and it should be, written in a way that conveys your messages really easily. And of course, the more free content that you've got there, the better Google will like it. If you're giving tips on how to take photographs at a wedding, or how to photograph a wedding with an iPhone. Maybe it's a mom or a gran who's looking for photograph tips for their son or daughter's wedding, lands on Yanis's website, and then thinks, Yanis's pictures are really good. I'll recommend them to Fanny or Alexander or whatever. But what these photographers and you in your business could be doing is they could also be sending out beautiful, informative, really valuable, and I don't mean valuable in the sense of financially valuable for you to put a cost for you to produce, but valuable in terms of people's needs and the problems that they need solved by the products or services that you offer. If you can actually get useful stuff out there that is not digital, that's actually print, you can stand out. Postcards. I love having something beautiful to see rather than the Stockholm white walls that I have in the Doghouse studio here. I like something much nicer than that. Postcards, if I get sent a nice postcard, an artistic postcard, even if it's from a company, especially if it's got a handwritten note to me because they know who I am, or maybe they're just, touching base with me, it sticks around much longer than that junk that drops into my inbox. Yes, there's no device with a postcard that enables me to immediately click through to their website. I actually do have to look it up. But as long as their name is easy to find in Google, that's pretty easy. We're never much more than a Google search from someone, are we? If we know who they are and they've got a reasonable presence online. Calendars. It's the end of the year. How many companies put calendars together? Well, a few. It used to perhaps be more common. The firemen used to do one in, you know, where I grew up. Used to get one from the local fire station. Had lots of adverts in, of course. And maybe that was one of the reasons that my parents didn't put it up. But other calendars that people did that actually had adverts in, now that I think of it, were put up. But you see what I mean? Imagine that. And something that you've put together that goes up in someone's kitchen or office for a whole year as a constant reminder of who they are. For example, for me, with dogs, having a good vet's very, very important. It is. You know, my vet, Jerke and Valentina, is absolutely phenomenal. But if someone wanted to get in front of me and make me aware that I might want to check someone else out, and Jerke, you know, it's just Jerke and his very small team. It's not a big veterinary hospital like the one down in Merribee, not far from me. If someone else wanted to get in front of me as a, you know, possible backup for when Jerke was closed, it could be because they went to the Swedish Kennel Club and got the list of all the breeders and then found me and my address, that maybe if they sent me a lovely photograph, picture, calendar, mug, t-shirt, I don't know, something print, something physical of a Basset Hound, I would go, wow, Jerke didn't send me that. Of course, I'd know it was an advertising, John, we'd like to get in front of you. But I'm pretty impressed by people that do take the time to reach out to me and do something pretty cool. I got something today. I got an email from, what was his name? I'm just going to dig it out. And we're back. Yes, his name was Crispus. Crispus Lasta. There you are, from a company called We Are Crisp. I think it was Estonia. Now, he reached out to me saying, you know, we're a digital development company and we build websites. And if you guys are super busy and would like someone to work with, we love what you do. We discovered your website and thought you were fantastic. And maybe we could have a conversation about how we could work together. Of course, I wrote back instantly and said, hi, Crispus. No, we're not called Jontus Media anymore, and we're not at jontusmedia.com anymore. We changed that the 1st of January, lots of months ago. And couldn't resist. But they had a nice portfolio. I thought, you know, yeah, very nice. And he did write back and say, oh, yeah, hey, you caught me, smiley face. Your email was on my list from some people I was going to contact last year, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like hell, whatever. But I would have probably been much, much more open to listening to what he had to say if he'd sent me a Basset picture. We are Moondog, after all. Basset Hounds are super important. If you're looking out to build a really important business relationship, basically what he's asking is, can we be a partner so that we don't have to find the work, that you'll find the work for us? And yep, go on, you can charge something on top, but you know, we'll be getting a lot of stuff here. Fair enough. It's great. It's nice to have people like that. And sometimes you do need them. I'm not attacking that. What I am saying is that you could reach out to people with something that's not digital. I get 3 or 4 emails like that a week. I got a phone call a couple of days ago from someone in Austria doing the same thing. Today I got an email. Do you know which one would really, really stand out? If someone sent me something that I could unwrap. Doesn't have to be massive. I'm not looking for a bribe or anything. What would stand out and make me go, oh yeah, these people are really, really interesting, really trustworthy, if they're taking the time to find out who we are, what we do, what we like, actually knew the name of the company and the web address, and sent something physical, picture, you know, I don't know. But what I'm trying to encourage you to do is to think. Don't just sit there all the time thinking, I've got to be at the top of Google. I've got to have adverts on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. There are other opportunities. There are other ways of getting seen. One thing that occurred to me this week that a great way to set up and have a chat with someone would be to send them, find out who they are, find out, you know, you want to know where they are, find out the kind of times that they're at work, and send them bagels and coffee or whatever for the morning. Nobody sends us things like that. That's the kind of thing, that person-to-person contact. We're always talking about social media. We're talking about social media, aren't we? Being social. We can be social offline. We can. And we can do it with our print advertising, and we can do it with our advertising spend. Yep, it's got to scale. It's got to give you a return on investment. I'm not just having a rant saying, I want bagels. People out there in the world who want to do business with me, send me bagels now. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying we've got to think. We've really got to find ways to do things to get seen, to be trusted, to be believed, to be recognized that it's someone, we've got a service, a product that's valuable, or we're someone that's valuable and worthwhile that you as a business should know. All those things through. Digital is so competitive. It's scary. I work with it. It is. It's super scary. And the news that companies that have got huge amounts of money are really struggling to attract advertisers, that the companies with all the big money are moving into Google and Facebook. That's where they're putting their ads. It's like, how am I, as a small business, going to get seen in those places? Now, digital advertising it's in its early stages. It really is. You know, 15 years maybe, we sort of say since 2000, really, you know, the net's become such an integrated part of our lives. We've got the access of you know, phone. We're in the Western world, we are typically connected online, and we struggle when we're not. So that's my encouragement. Think about what you could be doing. What are you doing? And let's be positive about it, because otherwise we're going to get scared. So as I start to wind this up and take a calming breath to speak more slowly, yes, I'm aware that sometimes I do get a bit excited and speak quite quickly. Well, that's the nature of the beast. The beast that is your host of this podcast, John Buskell, from the Doghouse Studio. If you've got any feedback, questions, comments, do get in touch with me. You'll find me at Twitter. On Twitter, I am John Buskell, JONBUSCALL, or you just look for me on Facebook if you want to connect there. I post a lot of pictures of bassets, has been said. They're the places that I'm most active. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn. Always nice to connect with folks on LinkedIn. I'm still trialing the pro, or trialing. I am now, I think, third month I've been on LinkedIn Pro. Expensive, but it's actually really, really interesting. Trying to gather data and some case studies, both to talk to other businesses about, but something I'm going to share with you guys a bit later down the line. Anyway, from myself, Digby, Tia, and Winnie in the Doghouse Studio, thank you very much for listening to this show. Always appreciate it. I'll be back with another episode very soon.
Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
As always, recorded in the Doghouse Studio. For more, visit moondogmarketing.com.